Today great. Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
That's a great day for creative hashtags. I'm Amy Beth Arkowitz, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are ya? We'll take on that cultural cacophony in measured doses, don't you worry. Some great music, including your forgotten 45s, and we'll salute a Motown legend who you probably never heard of. Inspiration to action, Sean's success stories, overflowing in the mailbag, and boy, do we love that. And we'll take on social media, the upside of social media in the spotlight, as we welcome back one of our fan faves. Fellow author Julie Seedorf is back to talk about a campaign that she launched to help a beloved book blogger. That's all coming your way. Love to get you in the mix, too. Are you listening live? It is Tuesday, April 25th. Wow, springtime. Going on. 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Twitter feed bursting at the seams as per usual. Live or on podcast, you can chime in at AB Writes. Also for the show, the Facebook page is open and our PopNet chat box. So it tells us Aurora and our producer Trudy Hart in the box raring to go for you. Show today brought to you in part by Geico. Find out how 15 minutes or less can save you 15% or more on your car insurance at geico.com. Also by Audiophile, from music to books to podcasts. Caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile and the aforementioned friends at PopNet. Arts, culture, conversation on air, online. PopNet is up and running 24/7 and they feature select editions of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, and also select roundtables. How fun was it to talk about the Fox News fallout and Bill O'Reilly last week? Thank you for chiming in with that. Always a blast with you guys. All right, so let's welcome Julie Seedorf back to the show. She is the author of the popular Fuchsia, Minnesota mystery series, also another mystery series, a couple of children's books, and a newspaper column, and all in between that, she manages to do good works in her local community in Minnesota and online. So, Julie, you're a busy gal, so thank you so much for stopping by and visiting with us again.
Oh, I love stopping by to chat with you.
Yeah, it's always fun. We have a great time together. And one of the upsides of social media for me would be connecting with people like you. When people get to connect.
Oh, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's the way we met.
Exactly, that's
social
how we met.
Media.
And that's what I'm saying. A lot of people, when I put out feelers the last couple of days on social media about what is your experiences on social media, positive, negative, and a lot of people said the positive thing is getting to connect with people all over the world who you would never have known before, and that's how you get friendly, and it helps your career in a lot of cases. We promote each other's works. All of those good things is definitely there. The downside, of course, is there as well, and we've talked about the downside on the show many times, about people being getting depressed and playing compare and contrast with their lives. A new study just came out today about kids. Young people in particular suffering from social media depression. Part of it, I think, is overexposure. They're just immersed in it. But there is an upside, as I said, for a lot of people, just connecting, if you're lonely, reconnecting with old friends. People have romances they've reconnected with over the years, you know, those kinds of things. For your job, connecting to get a job. If you're an artist, if you're a writer, like we are, it is invaluable in terms of spreading the word about your work and helping other people connect. So those are all the great things about it. But let's, you know, you actually sparked my, you said, hey, why don't we do something on the radio last week, because you were kind enough and astute enough to start a GoFundMe campaign for a book blogger that we all know and love who was kind of down in her luck, and you got raised some money for her to get her out of some, you know, a bad spot. Tell me how you decided to do this and all of that, if you don't mind.
Well, I kind of have to say it's probably God that inspired it, because I read between the lines. I saw a post that she had done, and I knew she had been looking forward to going to this book convention. She never goes to book conventions because she just doesn't have the money, and she had been saving, and she had just said, I am not going to be able to go to Malice. And I thought, that's really strange. So I messaged her and said, what's going on? What's happening? And I caught her at the right moment, because she just told me her story of of what had happened to her. She's disabled, and her sister had had a job, and they lived together, and then her sister lost the job about a year and a half ago. At the same time, her brother died with a brain tumor. Her sister wasn't able to get a new job, and then she got very, very ill and became disabled too, and Social Security keeps denying her, and we hear that a lot, but this woman's lost weight. She can't work right now. And so they got very, very behind in their rent. And, of course, she supports all of us so much, and she never told anyone. And she lives in Delaware, and I live in Minnesota. So it was, wow, what can we do? And the first thing that came to mind was a GoFundMe page. And one of the reasons I did it is she's a book reviewer, but she's such a supporter of cozy mystery authors, and she's always promoting us, and she does it for free. She doesn't charge any of us for anything because she has such a kind heart. She's very proud and would never have said anything, but they were on the verge of being evicted from their apartment because they have not been able to pay rent for the last year. And so I just started this page, and then I put it out to all the authors that she knows, and they've been wonderful coming forward. And I was really surprised and happy that some people that I know from my community came forward, and it's an ongoing effort. We need to raise $9,600, and I think we've raised $2,600. So,
how much did we raise so far?
$2,600 in the last week.
All right, so we have a ways to go. Okay.
Yeah, and so it seemed like a no-brainer to help her.
I will just interrupt just for a second to just tell people we're having a little audio thing going on with some crackling, so I hope we get through this. Okay. Sorry, this is nobody's fault.
Phone.
It's the glitch in the system, as sometimes this happens.
Oh.
So I'm having trouble hearing you, so this may be an issue. That's why I'm just saying to our audience.
Okay, I'm here.
Hopefully, it'll get better.
It was just because I think I had a call coming in on call waiting. And sometimes with my phone system, you know technology.
Yeah, we're gonna have to drop out of this. I think I can't.
Okay, let's use my cell phone. Call my cell.
You want to try to call back? I don't know if it's on your end though. It may just be in the system. But okay, she's gonna try to call back, and we'll see. Maybe we'll get some better. Well, there we go. The crackle is gone, so maybe her cell phone will work better. Sometimes this happens. I know Trudy always gets nervous in the booth. She's like panicking. It's not your fault. It's just the system and how things go. Hopefully it'll get cleared up and we can have her back on because it's really important information. But if we can't get it out and we can't hear it, then we're kind of in trouble. So let's do a quick see if she can connect back in. We're going to get it. We'll do a song. We'll see if this clears up. And if not, we can reschedule and do it another time. This is live radio. We do the best we can, but I want to make sure folks can hear it. Hey, please join us, will you? It's 347-857-4505, and the Twitter feed is AB Writes. Let's try it. Let's see if this is better. Hey, Julie, are you there?
I'm here. I am here, and it was my phone that did it to us.
Okay, I'm hearing a little crackle again, but it's a little better, so let's hope.
Okay.
I was telling folks
off
air that in case there's a problem, then we'll have to reschedule. But I want to make sure we hear you because it's important what you're saying.
Right, and we can go on my cell phone, too, if we need to do that. I can call back on that phone if you're having trouble.
Oh, okay, I thought you were on your cell phone. Okay, I'm hearing the crackle again, but it's not as bad. So let's talk a little bit more about where we were. So we have the GoFundMe up. It's about $2,400, you said, or $2,600, so we still have a ways to go.
It's about $2,600, and we need $9,600. That pays the rent for the last year. And she has a wonderful landlady that has let them stay and has been very forgiving. But now this woman needs her money too.
Sure. It's a rough situation, but it's so great of you to have stepped in that way and read between the lines, like you said, because a lot of people, I mean, people are proud. There are people, and we know there are people that quote unquote abuse the system. You always hear that kind of story, which I just think, yeah, for everybody who does that, there's so many people who slip through the cracks and who need help, who are too proud to speak up if they need it or don't know where to get it, don't know where to turn.
Well, and it's a temporary thing. It's a temporary thing. We're working, once they get the Social Security or can go back to work with a disability. Her sister, if she gets better, she'll go back to work. Their family's been helping out, but they can't help with everything, and
they've
both been disabled, and I put myself in that position, and I would want to help anyone that I would hope someone would help me if I were in that situation. I don't want to see them homeless.
Yeah, no, absolutely not, and I agree. And but kind of you to do that and take the time to read between the lines and then start this. And that's what I'm saying, the idea that we have this kind of a thing where we still need work on this because we don't have enough people yet, or we haven't raised enough money yet, is still something that is new to social media because, yeah, maybe you'd have a network of people that you could call on the phone in the old days, but it might not be as big a network of people to draw from all over the country, all over the world, people that, you know, you can say to on your own social media platforms, hey, this is somebody I know who needs help. It's always a problem for people who don't know a person, I guess, because it's like how many people, how many, there's so many causes out there, so who do you choose and how do you choose and all that. I get that, too.
Right, and
so I'm not guilty,
I'm
not trying to guilt people into anything.
Guilt them. Yeah. We need to guilt them. No, I live in a small Minnesota community where we really support each other, but we also use GoFundMe for cancer situations and accidents and actually even funeral expenses. Many people don't have money to pay for a funeral, and so that is a good way. And, you know, social media is wonderful in the new friends you make, too, because I can't tell you, if I put out there I'm having a bad day, I have had authors and other people that I've known through social media contact me through a messenger or even call me on the phone and say, what can I do to help? Or I'm here for you if you just need to talk. And I think social media, if used right, expands our world so we can use it to support one another and also to help, like with Lisa.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's really such an important way to look at it, and it's such the best way to use it, as opposed to just using it to pump yourself up, which is fine too, and promote your work, which is also great. Nothing wrong with that. But to reach out to each other and have that interconnectedness, because it's ironic the world that we live in, where people are more plugged in and less connected in so many ways. I mean, that's the downside of it, because you use it as a crutch, or it becomes your virtual world versus your real world. But for some people, it is their real world, and it is the only connections they have. And it can assuage loneliness. It can connect people and help people in a bad position. As you said, it's temporary. It's a time where you need help, and then you're helping someone else. And hopefully, if you need help down the road, that somebody will be there for you. So I do see a lot of upsides. I just think people need to use it judiciously and be realistic about what it can do for you and what you can do with it. But it really is an amazing, if you use it properly, I think, and with the right intention and the great spirit that you have particularly, and you ignite a lot of other people's spirit. And that's also part of it, too, I think. If there's also a lot of snark on social media, and people use it, and we know, and my listeners know.
Yes.
We have a lot of stuff with politics and people getting upset about politics and mad at each other and unfriending and all that kind of stuff. And I always say, let's look for common ground. I mean, let's not be nasty about it. You can have different views. Let's look for common ground. That's my thing. But
well, and it depends on what you look for, too, because
yes.
You know, one of the things about social media that it can do for you is it can open up your world. If you live in a small community, and I don't care where that small community is, and you're entrenched in your small community and you know the things that are happening, and then you ignore the rest of the world and not the bad things that are happening, the good things that are happening, and you reach out and you see all the things that are going on in the world that you have access to that you would not have access to if you didn't reach out of your tiny little world. We have a tendency to become closed in, especially if you live in small communities, and I love small communities, by the way, and even in the big cities, you tend to be closed into your own social group. But, you know, I know people now that I chat with from Canada, Australia, England, and maybe someday.
You know what?
I'm gonna have you
check out, try your cell phone this time, because we're getting that crackle problem again. I don't mean to interrupt you, because you think
right
some very
now
important things. Okay, so try it, okay?
Yep. Okay, I will. Bye-bye.
Okay. Go try your cell phone. We'll come back hopefully in a couple of minutes. Thank you. All right. I'm sorry, guys. We got that problem with the crackle. It's nobody's fault. It's just environment, line. I got a little crackle here, too. So let's hope. Let's hope for the best. Anyway, you can join us. Twitter is the best place, as always. You know that. AB Wright's Facebook page and our PopNet chat box. Let's hope for the best. I think after a few minutes, it kind of goes. We'll get there, though. United, we stand, right? It's the Amy Beth Arcoli Show. Hang in there.
There's nowhere in the world that I would rather be than with you. there's nothing in the world that I would rather see than your smile, my love.
United we stand, but these online
here.
Trackles help us. Hey, welcome back. Julie's back. I think it's just the system. There's something going on. Are you there? We'll try it, but I don't know how far
here.
We're going to get,
Julie.
Does this work? Yeah, I don't know if it's on your end or my end or the system. There's some. It goes in and out, so we'll try our best, but I think we'll have to wrap it up. You know, just try our best. I think we're okay now, for now. Anyway, so we were just talking about how you said getting out of your own little head, your own little world, and expanding it. I think that's so great. But you have to have that open heart, right? I mean, you have to be open for that.
You do. I think what happens, though, is because of all the bad rap and the bad social media, people are afraid.
Yeah.
You know, people are afraid. And, you know, they're afraid to accept people. They're afraid to meet new people. But I learn so much from the people I meet. Of course, we're careful. We have to be careful. But if you open your hearts and you really hear what someone else is saying and you share, you have to share a little bit of yourself to get to know someone else too.
Yes, I agree. Well, share, I think you're right, and be careful, and go to the good places, because as we said before, I think, on this show, and maybe even with you, we've talked about it, I think, in the past, it's where you go, because a lot of people are afraid. Like, people tell me they're so afraid of Twitter, and I've never had a bad experience on Twitter, really, with rare exceptions. Occasionally, you get, like, a snarky comment, but I just ignore it then if it's somebody that I think is threatening or weird or whatever.
Well,
but,
and you can block people, too.
And you can, exactly, that's what I'm saying, you can block somebody like that, but a lot of people will say that they're afraid because they get a lot of hate on Twitter, but if you're putting out positive things and you're going to positive places, you probably won't attract as much of that. You may attract something because there are crackpots everywhere and it could happen, but like you said, you could block somebody. But it's something, what you're putting out and where you're gravitating to, and I think that's part of it. If you're gravitating towards positive things, to do things to help other people, to help yourself in your own career, your own endeavors, whatever it may be. I mean, there's so much you can choose from there and so many lanes you can drive in, so to speak. You know, you can go wherever you want to go in a positive way. But good for you for doing so much. I know you do a lot to help a lot of authors, including me, and everybody else, and I try to do
well,
the same.
Well, you do a lot too. So
but I think
other.
It's contagious. We all we boost each other up, you know, and I think that's really important. And you set a good example, and it does come back to you. It's like volunteering, and you know that too because you're a volunteer. You know, when you volunteer for things, I always find you get so much back. It's so rewarding to do it, and you get so much back in return. So it's the same kind of thing. You're putting out good energy. It's gonna come back to you.
Right. If you're a real crab and you know, people aren't just going to read one book, my books. You know, they read all books of every genre. And so why shouldn't I promote or you promote books that you enjoy and people that you enjoy? But if you get out there and you're crabby and you're snarky, you're going to get crabby and snarky people back at you, and your world is going to go dark.
Yeah, I agree. So go to the light. We need more light in the world. We've got enough dark out there.
We have enough
dark.
They like to complain
about politics. That's my people. They're always no matter what we talk about, I get people say, "When are you going to talk about Trump?" I'm like, "Can we not talk about Trump for 5 minutes?"
Exactly. And, you know, I have noticed, you know, because I do read my news on social media first thing in the morning, and that's all that's in the news is Trump. And you know, if that's all we focus on, I don't focus on it anymore because it was driving me crazy too. And I was focusing on the news and the bad things about that.
You get depressed.
And it was pulling me way, way down. The other thing that really can depress you, I think, too, about social media is the fact too much of it, like you mentioned before. You know, as authors, we have to be on Twitter, we have to be on Facebook, you know, we have our blogs and things like that. And I think the same thing happens for kids and people that get addicted to their games and things that it starts running you. And then when it starts running you and you can't leave it alone, that's where the stress comes in, and that's where it's not so much fun. And I find that at times I just have to unplug. And I've really unplugged from the news, not because I don't want to be aware. I do, but yeah. I want to be aware of the right things. And we've had some really serious sad things happen in my small community. I live in a small community of 3,000 people, and we've had some very, very sad things. And plus, you know everybody, so you go to a lot of funerals. And during those weeks, actually, when we were all mourning and grieving the things that were happening in our community, social media saved my sanity, because I had positive people out there putting positive things in my life. And, you know, there's a balance. And
exactly.
Sometimes we lose that balance. Yeah.
Go to the light. And as you said, I think, you know, measure doses of everything, I always say. You know, you can't overdo it. You want to don't oversaturate yourself with it, and sometimes pull back, sometimes unplug. I'll spend a weekend, sometimes the whole weekend I won't be checking it, and I'm fine Monday. Guess what? I'm fine. I survive without it. And I'm refreshed and raring to go again. So I think, and I'm not saying that's good for everybody. You can do whatever suits you, but try to limit yourself, especially if you feel yourself too immersed in it sometimes. But on the other hand, if you need it as an outlet because you're too immersed in your daily day-to-day life and things are hard there, it is an outlet and it is a place where people can find refuge. So it's a question of
how you
use it. And
I want to say one more thing about
sure.
using it the way we're using it to help Lisa. You know,
go ahead.
One of the things, I don't even know if she knows we're on here today talking about her, but one of the things that was really hard for her was she was worried about what people were going to think, and she did share then finally on her page that she's ashamed that she's in this position. And I think that stops people from reaching out to other people because they're so afraid of the judgment that they see on social media.
Yeah. All right, we're losing you again. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with you. This is just the system, the phone. Something's going wrong today. Figures, right?
Okay.
We'll get together again, though. But it's always a pleasure, Julie.
We will.
We'll, I'm going to put up your links and everything that we need.
Okay.
We're still doing the GoFundMe. Should we be putting that on Twitter as well? I'll do that. So we can get people involved.
Yes.
People want to help Lisa.
Yes, rent for Lisa. Yep.
Because she does, as you said, do a tremendous lot for a lot of authors, and she's a humble person who would never ask for help, but you got it out of her, and I think that's a great thing. So we'll put that up.
Okay.
And we'll put up your links, of course, if you want to find out about your books and all your good stuff. I'm going to put that up. I think your website was down, just so you know, in case there's some issue there, but maybe that's on your internet end.
Okay.
But I found your Amazon page,
really,
so I'll put that up.
Okay,
yeah, no,
great.
But
okay.
Anyway, I love talking to you. We're going to do it again, hopefully, when all this crackle and pop crap is gone, which would help.
Yeah.
But thank you, Julie Seedorf. Always a pleasure. You're a great spirit, and you're one of the pleasures that I found when I connected with social media. So there is an upside just by knowing you.
Yep,
that's
love
for sure.
You,
thank
Amy,
you so much.
Beth. Yep.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Love you back. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, my dear.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'm sorry about that, kid, because she's so great. We know. We've had her on before, and she is really great. She's got some funny stories, and her books are great, too. So we'll post all that for you. Love to get you on next. We're going to keep trying it. If we get more crackle on our end here, we'll have to wrap up early as well. Twitter feed is AD Wright's. Phone line is 347-857-4505. We're going to try that, but it's always tricky. PopNet chat box is running, so says Trudy. And the Facebook page is open. They've got some folks who've chimed in about social media there. We'll pick up a couple. Susie, positive experiences. I love lots of great new friends and reconnected with old ones who live far away. That's what a lot of folks are saying. Caroline says, positive social media, lots of new author, blogger, and writing friends. Great opportunities for giveaways, too. And Dave says, very positive, lots of amazing geometric artwork and friends doing that work all over the world. And he adds, losing a few people due to basic disagreements over the political issues of the day is not necessarily a bad thing. I hear ya. Indeed. All right, do we want to go back to this? Let's talk about Sylvia Moy. Sylvia Moy is somebody who is so instrumental in Motown, but you never heard of her. She is a composer, a singer, a songwriter. She started out as a singer, I think. Didn't make it as a singer, but hooked up with Motown at a young age, got involved, and she actually helped salvage, believe it or not, I'm not kidding you here, she helped salvage the career of Stevie Wonder. Yeah, Stevie Wonder, when he signed on, was only 13 years old. He did the Fingertips Part 2, a little mostly instrumental song. They didn't know what to do with him afterwards. They had a couple of releases that went nowhere. And I think they were, and I'm not sure if Berry Gordy would have done this, but they were talking about maybe dropping him from the whole roster. Sylvia Moy happened to be on staff, and she said, no, let me take this. Let me help him. Let me be the mentor and the guide. And she was, and she helped him through several of those early hits, including a song called Uptight. She co-wrote it. Sylvia Moy passed away last week at the age of 78, but boy, did she help that Motown legacy live on and on. Remembering Sylvia Moy on the Amy Beth Arkley Show.
Outside, because my heart is true. If this baby ever
is Sylvia Moy with a French twist. Stevie Wonder's My Sharia Moore without Sylvia's help would have been called Oh My Marcia. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Wouldn't be the same, right? Also, Sylvia co-wrote the great Isley Brothers tune This Old Heart of Mine, the Marvin Gaye, Kim Weston duet, It Takes Two, and Stevie's early career comebacker, Uptight. Sylvia Moy, a pillar of Motown, a name that you probably never heard of, but she was doing some great work for decades. We lost her last week at the age of 78. On we go, folks. Do your work, and someone will notice somehow, some way, and it's really about doing the work, though. Isn't that important? And I always say take one step towards your goal each day. There are no such things as small steps, of course. And dip into that creative well, because it is the ultimate fountain of youth. It'll keep you young. It'll keep you vigorous, give you a purpose to your life, and you'll want to keep coming in and out of it. And it doesn't always work out. I mean, I've been honest with you about my own struggles. I mean, it's a daily deal. Some days things are going well. The muses are with me. Some days not so much. They're out to lunch or they're busy. They're doing something else, and I got to struggle. But I show up at the page, and I try. And that's all I say to folks. Try it. Keep working it. Something's going to happen. Speaking of which, our Inspiration Action Challenge success story, it's working for a lot of folks, and you know that makes me feel so good. Renee in Brewster, Massachusetts is one of them. She writes in, yes, like so many folks, I am finally embarking on a novel. Don't think I would have had the courage to try it without the discipline and fortitude and creative nudge that the challenge has given me. I've been doing it for a year or so. Frankly, not sure if it's going to work, but I'm doing it, and I feel good. Well, there you go, Renee. That's all we can ask. Keep doing it, because that's all we're all doing. Just keep trying. Keep working it. And I always recommend, while folks are embarking on stuff for the first time, keep doing the challenge, too, if you can. Or do some kind of journaling, because I think that helps. That sort of gets out the excess. Journaling, I think, is a useful tool. Again, it's not for everybody, and it's not always, you know, I'm a sporadic journal. I'll do it when I'm particularly in a low point, because I think it helps purge all the negative stuff out and put some positive stuff back into my system. That's what I use it for. It's therapeutic. But there are times when, if I'm immersed in a particular project, I don't do it. So I don't have a hard, fast rule for anybody. I always say there are no, you know, there are rules, but they're meant to be broken. So people can, but try it. If you haven't done it, it gives you some structure. But if you're just embarking on something for the first time, it sometimes helps as an anchor to have that also, because that's a place to go write your feelings about the process. Gee, I had a really good day today writing or painting or whatever it is. Or, gee, I really am struggling. It's not coming, and I feel bad about it. So that's, it's a separate place to go. And this is just for you. No one's, you're not being graded on this. No one's seeing it. Nobody's checking your work. It's not for publication or public consumption. It's just for you and a way to process. So sometimes that helps. So keep doing that as you go. And by the way, if the Inspiration Action Challenge is working for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out because you deserve it. And you know what? It helps spur other folks on because that's what we're here to do, keep greasing those wheels and helping each other. So let me know. And on the other hand, you need some cajoling, you need some help to spark that creative engine, I can help you in that department too. We can start a creativity coaching, counseling conversation. First one on me. I'll give you a primer on the challenge, help you with some other tips and tricks that might get you on your way. So reach out to me. It's the website, amybetharkawy, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. And we'll connect in a couple of weeks and get you going, I promise. Hey, while you're at the website, you can peruse my stories, the Eliza Gordon mysteries, some other stuff is out there. You can also chime in about your guest suggestions, Forgotten 45 requests, big stories, all that stuff, one-stop shopping, at the website, amybetharkawy.com. So things are sounding a little better. We think in playback things are going to sound better. That's what we're getting early indication, so we'll keep going, and we'll post the podcast. Again, apologies to Julie Seedorf, who I love, one of my faves, one of the great people that I've met on social media. Fellow author, she's written a bunch of stuff, keeps going, keeps chugging along, and she's got a great spirit, and she promotes other folks' work, and she's trying to help out Lisa Kelly, who is this wonderful book blogger that we all love, who is kind of down on her luck for the moment, and they have got a GoFundMe page. I posted that last week, we'll post it again, because I still need some help there, and these things help people. Social media, has it helped you? Have you felt the upside? Because I know we spend time on this show sometimes talking about the downside and the compare and contrast and how if you're immersed in it too much, you can be negative. But I think there's so much positive out there, too. It's looking for that light, going towards the light, going to places that interest you. If you're a writer, you want to gravitate towards other writers. If you're a musician, a filmmaker, et cetera, you gravitate towards that. If you're looking to reconnect with friends, you look up old high school and college friends. I mean, all of those things, it's at your fingertips, but know how to do it in the right measure and with a certain degree of caution and realism, I think, helps. But it is out there, and it does help folks. So let's take a few more comments from, what do we have, Facebook, Twitter, what do we got, Trudy, here? We got some more folks on Facebook. Harry says, well, with Facebook in particular, it creates a lot of confluential connections. But, of course, there's also contentious ugliness. It's a mixed bag. Yeah, I guess so. August, on the other hand, has negative. Longtime friends got miffed at something I posted on Facebook. There was a big dust-up, and now we are ex-friends. So it happens, yeah. It does happen. But for the most part, I think it can be a positive experience. Carolyn says, super positive for me. All of my best friends are on Facebook, both old and new friends. Great place to connect and reconnect. All right, there you go. That's what a lot of folks have to say. How about you? 347-857-4505, the old way with the tin cans and the string, although I'm not so sure if that's going to work too well today. And the Twitter, of course, is AB Writes. We've got the pod in the chat box coming through and the Facebook page open, too, as we salute folks who keep at it every day. Darn well. John for Lenore on the Amy Beth Arguey Show, writing that from the great Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy album. I love that one in my youth, that's for sure. And Elvis Costello's Every Day I Write the Book. I try. I know you do too. Yes, I do. Hey, we're talking social media, via social media. I love it, over the transom, very meta, right? And on Twitter, a few folks are chiming in. Glenn says, social media took my business from local to global. It works. Yeah, people using it for business for sure. KK writes in, the first rule of social media is that everything changes all the time. What won't change? The community's desire to network. All right, there you go. So it is a value there indeed. Pick your lane, pick your spots, use it wisely, go towards the light, go to where you want to go. And it will work for you. Pop in the chat box, working Dom chiming in. Hey, by the way, it sounds okay where we're listening to. All right, so it's working, the show, I hope. Hope that's true. Keep your fingers crossed for the podcast, because we got a lot of crackle on the line, but hopefully it's going okay. And he writes in, yes, I think you got to curtail yourself, though. Don't overdo it, and it does work. I've met some great friends. All right, thank you, Dom. Alonzo says, similar lines. He says, decompress, disconnect sometimes, but I still use it, and sometimes I think I'm addicted. That's why it's important to do the decompress thing. I hear you. I do that. Like I said earlier, sometimes I'll just go a whole weekend without bothering to check in, and people will say, well, I posted that on Facebook, or I messaged you. I'm like, okay, here I am on Monday. Call me up if you need to talk to me over the weekend, because sometimes I just have to – I'm online so much over during the course of the week, I got to just disconnect. That's me. I'm not telling other people what to do. I'm just saying watch yourself, check yourself, check your kids in particular, because kids can become really immersed in it and addicted to it, and there's cyberbullying and all that stuff. There's always good and bad in a lot of things, and I always say everything in measured doses and moderation. Use it to your advantage, and use it to open up your world. I think, you know, Julie and I were talking about that a bit, and if you saw anything of John Kasich on he's promoting his new book, I guess, so he's out around. He was on The View this morning. He was on I did a town hall with him last night on CNN, and I saw a smattering of those things. And one of the things I like about John Kasich, he's a Republican. I probably wouldn't have, frankly, voted for because he's probably too conservative for me, but he's a sensible person. He's a reasonable person. He certainly has a heart and a strain of humanity that we are lacking in who's currently occupying the Oval Office. But he didn't resonate with the Republican voters, and he didn't have a shot at it, so he didn't win. But his whole thing, and one of his things that I agree with here, is the idea that we need to, I think his book is called Two Paths, America United or Divided, the idea that, you know, you can be united if we come together, and I haven't read the book, so I don't know exactly what he says, but some of the things he was talking about, the idea that people go into, I think he calls them, I say the echo chambers, he says they're silos, you know, you go in and you block yourself off from anybody who disagrees with you, and you just keep talking to the same people over and over again, the same ideas over and over again. And that's part of the problem, and that's part of the problem with the niche broadcasting and niche media, not just broadcasting, but people going to their own, you know, radio shows that agree with them, their own TV shows that agree with them, their own blogs, and you don't open yourself up to other ideas. And what we try to do here, I always try to do, and I've always tried to do throughout my radio career and every other aspect of my career is to be open to other ideas and other viewpoints, because it's more interesting when you mix it up with other people. But you don't have to mix it up in a negative or obnoxious way. I worked with a guy who has passed on, a legendary broadcaster, Don Russell, who used to always say, "We can disagree without being disagreeable." And I love that line. But yeah, you can disagree, but you don't have to be nasty about it. And maybe you'll inform me, educate me, and maybe I'll educate you. Lighten each other. I mean, people have to be open to that, but so many people go into everything with a closed mind and a closed heart, and they don't open to the idea that somebody else has a good idea. And that's why it was one of the things I love about music, because it cuts through all that nonsense. You know, you just love it, and you can love, you can love a musical artist and not know where they're coming from politically. Some people are politically active, so you might know. But, it's about common humanity and finding that common ground. And I think that's what social media at its best can do for people, is help you find that common ground. And that's what we try to do here at our best. And the show is the same kind of idea. But it doesn't mean you always agree. You don't have to agree, but enlighten. Educate each other. Be open to those ideas and open to the humanity in the other person. It's like making everybody wrong. If you don't agree with me, that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. If I don't agree with you, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. So I don't translate that. Some people get so incensed if they're not on the same page politically with somebody, they have to be a horrible person. They have to make that person wrong as a person. That's not true. You know, it's still a person. Still has humanity. Still has a purpose in life. All of those things. So, if you want to make your argument, try to convince me that I'm wrong. And maybe I am. It's always a possibility. That's why I like, I know that there's a certain kind of radio that resonates with people that is the nasty, most of it's right-wing, but there's been some left-wing attempts at this too, echo chamber kind of stuff where it's just denigrating anybody who disagrees, being nasty, and over again they say the same kind of stuff. And some of those people, and you know who they are, have had long-running deluxe careers. They made a lot more money than I have. They're more successful and famous than I am. So I guess you could say they're doing something right. And I guess in terms of the entertainment quotient of that show or what has resonated with a certain swath of the community, I guess they have. But I can't do it because that's not me. And I don't think it's that interesting. I don't listen to that kind of stuff, frankly, except when I have to, I've done some media columns and those times when I've had to. It's sort of like, I'm listening so you won't have to, kind of columns, yeah. But, because to me, what's interesting to me about doing talk radio, frankly, is to have an exchange of ideas and to meet new people and talk about different things. That's what's interesting to me. And it doesn't have to be politics. You know, I love arts and music and books and all those other things, too. But when it comes to politics, I like to have different views. There's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't have to be contentious. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with contentious to some extent. It's just as it gets nasty and it gets to the point where people are not listening to each other. That's my problem. I think when people can come together and argue with some passion but still have respect for the other side and be open to it. You're probably not going to convince me on certain things, and I'm probably not going to convince you on certain things, but let's be open to our arguments. And let's make some arguments. Let's not just have a lash-out soundbite that we got from a talking point that we heard on a show 6 months ago or 10 years ago, and we're sticking with it. Or a blog, or some fake news outlet, whatever. Let's listen to reason and let's work through an argument. Let's work through like an old-fashioned debate. Let's work through those talking points in our own head, make up our own talking points, not talking points that we're handed. And it's a soundbite. Nothing I love more than when people send you questions in advance, or they send you the talking points. I used to always have more Republicans on my daily radio show, or Republican groups, representatives, conservative groups, because they would send over the most material. They would always be looking to get on shows. I would not use their pre-planned questions and all the stuff they would give you, but they would sometimes have interesting topics and interesting guests. Well, the liberal folks wouldn't be offering that. So when you're looking and you have to book a daily, 4-hour daily show, you're looking for guests, you're going for that low-hanging fruit. People are saying, hey, I'm going to talk to you about Parents Television Council, for example. They always sent people over, and they would talk about different their agenda was a conservative agenda, but to me it was interesting because they were talking about some popular show of the day that was controversial for some reason, and I could riff on that and take off on that in some way and incorporate their ideas. I'm open to their ideas, and sometimes, guess what? Sometimes I agree with them, by the way. So, people are not all – if you're an open-minded person and if you're a thinking person, you're probably not – you may lean one way or the other, but you're probably not all right-wing or all left-wing. You probably have some feelings in between sometimes. We all have our own minds. So I would say, yeah, I lean left, but I'm not a local lefty. I don't toe the party line, so to speak. I go with how I feel and what I think, what I reason from the facts that are before me and make up my own mind. So I'm a free-thinking person, and that's what I hope to attract, other free-thinking people, or convert people into free-thinking people and don't just be automatons for whatever particular echo chamber or silo you're sitting in. Let's get out. Let's mix it up a little bit on social media and in our regular daily lives, right? How about that? Twitter feed is A.B. Wright's phone line. If we can pull it off, the crackle has gone. I'm getting nervous here. 347-857-4505. Facebook page open, too, as is our PopNet chat box. Always delighted when those things work. And we turn the corner. We're into spring. It's weird weather, which spring usually is. Sometimes it's raining. Sometimes it's sunny. It's chilly. It's warm, at least where I am. How about you? Here's a beauty from Ricky Lee Jones, found in the archives, from Trudy to Danny. You wanted to hear this one. It's spring can really hang you up the most. Ricky Lee Jones on the Andy Bednarkowitz Show.
Spring this year has got me feeling like a horse that never left the post. I lie in my room staring up at the ceiling. Spring can really hang you up the most. Morning's kiss wakes trees and flowers, and to them I like to drink a toast. I walk in the park just to kill lonely hours. Spring can really hang you up the most. Oh, winter low, the birds twit, twit. Heard it before, and I know the score, and I've decided that spring is a bore. Love seems sure around the new year. Now it's April, love is just a ghost.
Happy times, and not so long ago, It's all very clear to me. Her husband built the radio, she did the broadcasting, and this kindly old gentleman is evidently the brains of the outfit.
Everybody was dancing.
moonlight in the middle of the day. King Harvest, The Forgotten 45 for BB on the Amy Beth Arkwee Show. Also enjoying all those sha-la-la-las from Yesterday Once More. The Carpenters for Lonnie. And that beauty from Ricky Lee Jones. Spring can really hang you up the most. Thanks for playing with us in real time here on the Amy Beth Arkwee Show. We're keeping our fingers and toes crossed that the snap, crackle, pop will be out of the podcast. We hope so. Thanks again to Julie Seedorf, another fan faves, great author, and a woman with a big heart. We will post her information along with the information to the Lisa Kelly GoFundMe page. And the podcast, when it becomes available, all the shows are archived as such. You can follow the Amy Beth Arkwee Show, BTR site, as you know, Stitcher, Mixcloud, download episodes at iTunes and NetNow, and be on the list of select editions on the PopNet and the Arts Radio Network. All roads lead back to our website, amybetharkwee.com. You can friend me on Facebook. We'll give you some updates. And speaking of updates, Trudy, you got to update your Twitter feed. You can follow our producer, Trudy Hart, at Radio Trudy. Follow me for the 24/7 conversation on Twitter, at AB Writes. We want to be connected. You find us, we want to be found. You know that deal. Thanks again to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, Emil at headquarters. Hey, whatever you do, wherever you go, please drive safe. Play nice and dream big and come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkwee Show. In the meantime, for Real Real Gone, with Van Morrison. Take care. I love y'all.
Down, as Solomon Burke said, if you need me.